Welcome back to Arts About.
The show about art that's a work of art in itself.
Oh, that was the other me. Brought to you by the wonders of app technology. Thank you, Brody. Very good. Arts About is, of course, brought to you by the generosity of the McClelland Sculpture Park and Gallery and facilitated by the Bendigo Bank Studio. And you're here with me, Sally Bailiw, alone today with Brody on the buttons this week. John's not so much AWOL, but out of state and hopefully phoning in from his adventures in New South Wales at the opening of his latest exhibition at Arthouse Gallery in Rushcutters Bay. A little bit later, I'm going to be chatting with artist Carolyn Cardinet, who has collaborated with another artist, Angela Barnett, on a project called Glacier, which has opened at Cube 37 in the Frankston Arts Centre. They are both deeply concerned by climate warming and the enormous problem of mass production of waste of plastic packaging and the diminishing glaciers, which are a direct result of it. Will and Swanee have a penultimate AA Light / Summertime, which will be much less highbrow than that, no doubt, and has them fossicking amongst the seas in the microfish this week. And joy of joys, Cliff returns from his summertime break and I expect fabulous tales of the visiting swarms that trap him in his burrow in Rye. And I also hope for a few hot tips for stage and screen. We're going to be playing episode 8 of Island King called Revelations. And while we get Carolyn Cardinet on the phone to talk about Glacier, here's Melbourne trio Tripod with their take on climate change from their album Men of Substance. The state of the world's oceans is something many of us rightfully worry about and wonder if there's anything that we can do about it. Our next guest, artist Carolyn Cardinet, worries too about the alarming rate at which our environment is changing, and her artistic practice is dedicated to bringing it to our attention. Carolyn is a sculptor who uses plastic detritus that she finds and creates amazing series of creatures from, many of whom she describes are the very creatures at greatest risk because of them. Glacier is a large-scale sculptural projection installation commenting on the effects of microplastics in the Arctic Ocean that prompts us to consider how we may be contributing to the contamination. She's created this amazing work of art, collaborating with Angela Barnett, who works with projected images to create it. Open at Cube 37 in the Frankston Art Centre, Glacier presents Carolyn's new sculptural forms out of plastic waste that I think she collected from Port Phillip Bay. And weaving through them is Angela Barnett's multi-projection moving image installation depicting the breathtaking and yet sadly diminishing glaciers. To explain more about it, I've got Carolyn Cardinet on the phone this morning. Good morning, Carolyn. Welcome to Arts About.
Oh, thank you so much, Sally. Good morning. Good morning to you.
Thank you. Thanks for coming on the program. First up, Carolyn, can you describe for our listeners what they'll see if they go along to see Glacier?
I would be tempted to say, just go and have a look, pass by.
Yes.
It's my biggest installation to date. I've made with using single-use plastic packaging.
Yes.
Which I have actually collected from Port Phillip Bay, from Port Phillip Street, from Port Phillip Tip.
Fantastic. So it is all local rubbish?
It's all local rubbish.
Yes.
That I find or that I had at home, I suppose, as well. And it is like two huge jellyfish, a form that resembles jellyfish, that are hanging in that cube, the glass house at 37. Mm-hmm.
Which is
window.
The piece at the front, yes.
Yes, and it's all white, so you have different tones of white, I suppose.
Yep.
And at the back of these two huge forms, that hang from the ceiling, you do have a polystyrene wall made out of boxes of polystyrene, mainly from for fish transport.
Mm-hmm. Yes, of course. We've probably all got some of those in it. Yes.
Yes, exactly. Or Weight Watchers or
yep.
Comes from there. And so I've collected those from the South Melbourne market, actually, and because they get like 100 a day.
And I would think they make a beautiful projection surface.
So actually the projection is not on this, it's our next project here. It is at night time. Cube 37 has screens coming down all around the glass, the three side glass panels or windows, if you like. and Angela's projects onto these. So it's a multi-projection, so three different projectors projecting different images, and they're crossing over, and they're crossing over around, if you like, my sculpture.
Your beautiful jellyfish.
So it should be doing a shadow, if you'd like, being my or the shape of my sculpture. So we're very excited to actually be collaborating together on this project, which I think is our first one, but I think we'll be working on many more.
Fantastic. It sounds very exciting. Have you always been concerned about the environment, Carolyn?
Probably not. Until I realised I live next to the beach, Port Phillip, obviously, and I've been walking the beach for 24 years, I think, this local beach, and one day I noticed not only I didn't find any more seashells, not only did I didn't find any more glass, sea glass, no more wood, driftwood, and I started to find a black cap, second black cap, third. And I thought, oh, hang on, there's a pattern here. What's happening? And they were all plastic. And they all obviously can go through our drains because they're small enough and they're maximum 5 centimetres.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started thinking, well, where does it come from, and et cetera, et cetera. And that brought me to actually researching it and no longer making art for art's sake, but art for a reason, and passing on the message about sustainability and the state of our oceans, because mm-hmm. our oceans give us 50% of our air to breathe. If we don't look after it, then we're going to be in trouble.
We most certainly are. On your website, you describe yourself as wanting to collectively reconnect societies towards making changes in the way we handle our precious environment. Would you identify as an environmental artist?
Yes, I would, actually.
Yes,
definitely. I didn't know what to call myself at the beginning. And then realising that I'm not the only one making things like this. I've been doing it for about 5-6 years now. And it is certainly something that really is at my heart. And, you know, at the beginning you probably start thinking of your children swimming in all that plastic, but now it's bigger than that. We have to act now on to not using, at least starting with not using single-use plastic packaging or refusing it.
Yes. Well, climate change and earthly contamination is a very depressing subject. Many of us feel kind of powerless in the face of it. Mm-hmm. Does your work and people's reaction to it give you hope that one day we might move that mountain?
Yes. Actually, I think it is moving slightly.
Mm-hmm.
We are getting there. It might still take a few years, but I think, until at least the Australian government acts on banning some of the plastic we use, it's going to be hard to make people realise, because it is so readily available every minute of our day. And just to give you a few figures, Sally, first, a lot of people don't know that plastic is made out of petrol.
Yeah.
So that's something that's really bad already. We buy it, we bury it, or we burn it. So all that, you know, costs money, costs our resources, costs our transport, etc. There's about 13 million, they said 8, but I think we're on 13 million tonnes dumped in our seas every year.
Oh, that's just the most horrific number.
Isn't it? Yes. By 2025, would there be 1 tonne of plastic for 3 tonnes of fish? But by 2050, there'll be more plastic than fish.
Oh, that's just the most ghastly, ghastly thought. And the other thing I think is jellyfish too, as a result, because the fish are not going to be able to live. We're going to get taken over by what does exist out there. Probably the only thing that will survive is jellyfish.
Exactly, because they're more resistant. So we use 300 million tonnes per year, and that's about 60, in Australia, it's about 65 kilos of new plastic for each of us per year.
How many?
65.
Good grief.
Because, I mean, plastic is so light too. You think, gosh, 65, that's enormous.
Yeah, that's a huge amount,
isn't
it?
That's the amount.
For each person.
Yes, each person used. Mm. So, and plastic, as you know, can take up to 1,000 years to break down fully. The, Well, people think it breaks, so it disappears, but it actually doesn't.
No, it just gets smaller and smaller, and then various other creatures ingest it, and it's it causes
A lot of trouble, and it goes in our food chain.
Yes,
because it stores in the fat of the fish, and we eat the fish, so it's not a good thing because it's made of chemicals. It leaches contaminants, and it also attracts when it's in the water. Somehow, I don't know how, but it attracts a lot of toxin molecules that comes onto the plastic.
Right.
So about 3 years ago, I cut myself because I was picking up all those bottles from the ocean or the seashore in St. Kilda. And, I cut myself, and it took 3 months to cure.
Good heavens.
It's because of all those microbes that are on it and toxins. So it is, it makes you aware. When things like this happen, you go, grief. What's happening?
Well, art is a great way to bring it to a greater wide audience attention as well. Your exhibition's running until the 16th of February, I think.
That's
got an artist talk on the February the 11th, aren't you? Haven't you?
Yes, Saturday. So Saturday at 12 o'clock, everybody's invited.
Yep.
It's also advertised on the Sustainable Living Festival. We're part of that as well. With our show, so we are delighted to be with them, and that many, many around the bay can come and have a look. I try to make things that are actually appealing, and it's only when you come closer that you realise that these are actually everyday plastic. Everybody will recognise that they use about everything on there.
Mm.
So it makes it, it comes home, when you see that.
Amazing. Now, Glacier's on at Cube 37 at the Frankston Arts Centre, and it's running until the 16th of February. I'm sure you'll actually see it as you drive past there at night. There's a free talk on the Saturday the 11th. What time is that, Carolyn?
It's at 12 o'clock.
At 12 o'clock. Yes. Thanks so much for talking to us today on Arts About. It's a really serious issue, and as much as we can get the information, or anybody can get the information out there, it's better for all of us. We really need to address this problem now. Thanks so much for talking to us today on Arts About.
Thank you very much for having me, Sally.
Great. Bye-bye, Carolyn.
Bye.
Next up, we have Island King, an Australasian adventure, Death in the Pacific, and this episode is called Revelations.
Island King, an Australasian adventure starring Andrew Curry and Kate Jenkinson. Death in the Pacific, Episode 8, Revelations. Will and the crew have returned to confront Sally Wallace in the hope that they can convince her of Will's innocence and get some answers. But they get a little more than they bargained for.
Sally? Sally, you there?
This is going well.
Shh, Sally, Sally, we need to talk. Oh, Jesus Christ, Sally! Take cover!
Billy!
Stay where you are, Gabby. I'm fine. Sally, we've got to talk.
I've sent Tommy for the police.
I got him, Skip. No problem. Over here, lady.
Nice one, mate.
What are you doing? Get back!
Two shots, Sally. That's it. Put the gun down.
Get back, you bloody murderer!
Oh, no, you don't. Sit down and shut up!
All right, Will.
Yes, come in.
You sit over there, Mr. Tommy, and be a good little houseboy.
Mrs. Wallace, I'm going to help myself to a long hot bath, if you don't mind. My poor wee bottom needs a soak, and my shorts need a wash.
Now, Mrs. Wallace, I did not kill your husband, and I'm sick of you running around pointing the bloody finger.
And the gun.
What's she doing here?
Shh, I'm talking. Now, I know you've lost a husband, and by the way, I've lost a pal. But none of us had anything to do with it.
Gerard
was wrong. Now, I agree Winky was hot under the collar the night we sailed. Right, Tommy?
Yeah, Mr. King.
And when I left, he was very much alive. There was no banging or scuffling or fighting.
I'm sorry, I just don't believe you.
Believe this, then.
Where did you get that?
What is it?
It's called the Jiper Ruby. It was Winky's mother's engagement ring. Tell me where you got it.
Winky gave it to me.
I don't believe you.
I don't believe you.
When were you going to tell us about this, love?
This is bloody ridiculous. You must have stolen it. Maybe you killed Winky.
I was tempted, my dear, and I'm not sad he's dead.
Now steady on.
Your darling husband and your good pal wouldn't leave me alone. He wanted me to run away with him.
This is important, Gabs. How come you never told me?
We've been a bit busy. And anyway, what does it matter now he's dead? No sense in upsetting the wifey.
Hey, Tommy, mind if we grab a beer? This is gonna be good.
A vodka tonic, bitte.
G&T, Tommy. And have a beer yourself.
You better tell us all about it, love.
There's nothing to tell. He said what they all say. You are the most beautiful woman. I cannot sleep. I don't love my wife. I will rescue you from Ralph. Blah, 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 blah. Danke, Lionel. Cheers. All this sweet talk is supposed to make me feel weak at the knees.
Bloody homewrecker.
Oh, yes, pardon me. Saint Vinky was such a good man until the tart turned up.
Yeah, steady on, Sal.
It's true, though. Look at her. Slinking about like some prostitute on the Reaper Barn. Which, no doubt, she was.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
A prostitute I have never been. Although, Frau High and Mighty, I am proud to say that I knew many.
Ha!
Many good women fed their children on the Yankee dollar and the British pound. My own mother was a widow at 28. We did not ask where the sausage and chocolate came from.
We may have veered off course a bit. You were telling us about Winky.
Yeah. Winky lost all his money.
No!
Yeah. He had some land on Bora Bora. He borrowed £10,000 off Ralph. Ralph warned him, but Winky just said Ralph was afraid of the competition.
Lies!
It does not surprise me that he did not tell you. He said he did it for me.
Holy cow, this is better than one of them radio serials.
Lionel?
He wanted to be as rich as Ralph so that I would desire him. He must have thought I was a whore as well. When he lost the money, he gave me the ring. I was going to give it to Ralph because Winky owed him.
I'm guessing Ralph can corroborate most of this?
Sure, whatever that means.
Well, when is he due back?
Well, that's a funny thing. Just before all this happened, I got a telegram saying he must stay in Australien for business for some years and I must go there for him.
And you never thought that it might have something to do with Winky's death?
Jealous husband chops off the cop.
No, not Ralphie. Anyway, he left before Winky died.
Oh, he could have come back, old girl.
More beer, Tommy! More beer indeed. It appears Ralph Steinman might have a lot to answer for, but they've got to find him first. Be sure to tune in to the next exciting episode of Island King!
Island King is written by Peter Swan and starred Andrew Curry, Kate Jenkinson, Doug Tremlett, and Nick Farnell, with Sally Bellew and Peter Swan in supporting roles. Sound production by Steve Myers. Tune in each day to Drive at 5:05 for the next exciting episode!
And now it's time for
John On.
And with any luck, we've got John on the line up there in Sydney. Are you there, John?
And aren't you lucky?
Yes, that's great. That's fantastic.
And here I am in Sydney, Sally, back over in the Pop Point, the RPP Pop Point apartment.
Oh, I'm so glad. I wasn't sure whether or not you'd actually got a Guernsey there or whether someone else had beaten you to it this time.
No, we're over here in Chalice Street, or whatever it's called, and with a view of the bridge and a bit of the Opera House, and it's terrific.
Ah, oh, that's good. And is it clean and tidy?
It was.
Oh. So you're there, of course, for the opening of your exhibition.
Yes, and the exhibition's up and running, and it's all fabulous. I couldn't be happier, actually.
Oh, that's very exciting.
The gallery's very happy too, and lots of people, and Sydney's fantastic. They know how to turn it on, Sydney. They know how to have fun.
And they know how to appreciate art and treat artists.
Well, part of having fun in Sydney is spending money, it would seem.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So tell me, what is the name of your exhibition?
It's called Running in Wynwood.
That's right, Running in Wynwood. I was looking at it online because, of course, now the gallery has it up online even before you get to ride the red carpet.
Running in Wynwood refers both to the directions that sailboats take, but they're also the names of sailboats. There's two sailboats that I know of, one called Running and one called Windward.
Beautiful, and they, of course, feature amongst the work, as do some rather spectacular and sci-fi, your typical sci-fi flower arrangements.
Oh, yeah, disco dancing flowers.
Yeah, they're so beautiful, John.
Okay.
Yeah, it looks like a really wonderful exhibition. I think walking around in that room with surrounded by those paintings would be a rather exciting and exhilarating feeling. I wish I was there.
Yes, well, thanks for saying that, Sally. And Sydney itself turns it on too. It's such a beautiful city. And Amanda and I came up here with the intention of having a look at as many of the ocean pools as we could.
Have you managed to get in any?
So from Coogee up to Palm Beach was the area that we were looking within. There's 27 of them, though, which is a bit hard to do in the few days that we're here.
Yeah.
But we've had a swim down in Coogee, and the bottom one at Coogee is called Wiley's, which has got a kind of a structure built around it these days with cafes on the top, and it's just an absolutely beautiful place.
And do you have beautiful weather there?
Yep.
Ah, oh, lucky
it's all been happening.
That's fabulous.
A bit cloudy a couple of days, but, you know, warm. And there's also Fairy Bower. Have you ever been to Fairy Bower?
No. What is Fairy Bower?
Fairy Bower is a little bay that is just south of Manly.
Right.
Sort of tucked inside North Head.
And you'd sail past it when you were going on the ferry? Oh, no, it's on the other side.
Right. Yes. It's got a little rock pool there swimming in, but it's also got a deep cove with a beach and a beautiful swimming beach and a sort of a restaurant on the beach, and all of the land around it belongs to the church, and they've leased the land. People have got 99-year leases on the land around there on which they've built $99 million houses. You know?
Good grief, yes, okay. And have you been wanting... Did you go swimming
there? They can in Sydney.
Yes. Did you go swimming there too?
You bet I did.
Ah, beautiful.
And we're off to Queenscliff this afternoon. Not our Queenscliff, obviously, but their Queenscliff, which is just north of Manly.
Oh, well, that's the life of Riley, partying with the artists, hopefully, by day, by nighttime, and swimming in the rock pools by day.
Yeah, and I love the rock pools, absolutely love it.
Well, maybe is that the next series, perhaps, John, Rock Pools of Sydney?
Well, I've been looking. I have in the past made paintings of young men and boys jumping off piers.
Yep.
Around the rock pools. The rock pools tend to be defended from the ocean by concrete walls that have a beautiful sort of brutalist architecture about them. So great big like castle walls and stuff. And the youths spend a lot of time jumping off those into the water, so I've been looking at a bit of that.
Great. Well, that sounds very exciting. Well, let's hope we see a few red balls on the walls around at the Art House Gallery over the next week or so. It's wonderful talking to you. Can't wait to see you. Hopefully you're back next week or perhaps the week after.
I might not be back next week.
Maybe
I won't be. I'll be on the phone for sure.
All right, fabulous. Great to talk to you. John, have a great time and we'll see you very soon.
Okay, thanks, Sally.
Bye.
See you, Brody.
Now, coming up next, we have the penultimate version of AA Light / Summertime. This is Will and Swanee rattling around seas.
Good morning, Will. Good morning, Tani. Tani's not talking.
No, she doesn't talk at all. Good morning, Swan. It's good to have you. And we're back in the Ark Centre.
As you know, we're in the Ark today because John's asked us to research the Impressionist painter Paul Cézanne.
It's a little heavy. You know, this is arts about light / summertime.
It's come to John's attention that the artist Paul Cézanne has an uncanny physical resemblance to our mutual friend, Melbourne painter Pasquale Giordano.
Pasquale, of course. Yeah, he does.
And it's true. If you look at this, I've already got it prepared. I'll slide that across there on the microfiche. I've got them together there. Look at that. Separated at birth.
Separated at birth. You're absolutely right. But I've never put two and two together.
But I'm wondering if there might not be stylistic resemblances as well as we go on. And I'm thinking of Cézanne's Les Grandes Bigniaces. That's how you pronounce it, is that
you,
right?
You speak French so well.
Yeah, and Pasquale's The Sausage Makers.
I know The Sausage. Don't forget the.
No.
The Sausage Makers.
So I'm going to reach up here.
Well, we do. There is a box up there. Go up to C. There'll be something up there, I'm sure.
What have we got here? This is all out of like this cool containers. What does that mean?
No, that's right. Don't worry about that. There's some stuff up there that we looked at this morning.
Oh, is it? No.
It's that one there, I think.
No, there's no Cézanne here. What's this bloody thing?
Thought we had a box on Cézanne up there.
What the hell is a survey map of Cambodia doing in the Cézanne section?
It's no idea.
Well, it's got your name on it.
What?
Yeah, and if look.
Give me a look at that.
Is that a flight plan?
Just hang on a sec. Well, I do know what it is. This has taken me a bit by surprise because it's research material that I lent to someone some time ago, and I have to be honest and say I'd completely forgotten that it's here. It was another story that Art's About was looking at doing.
And what's the story behind a flight plan and a map of Cambodia, Will? What could possibly be...
Well, I've got to be a little careful about what I say, but last week we talked about
pirates. Benito Bonito.
That's right. Benito Bonito.
Bloody sword.
Treasure.
Yeah.
Just purely by coincidence, this is another treasure story, and it...
I like treasure stories.
I know you don't see it's like the look in your eyes.
Again, it's like something out of Rider Haggard or what's his name? Edgar Rice Burroughs.
Yeah. I'm thinking of someone else, but no.
Tarzan.
Tarzan, yeah.
Yeah, John Carter, Warlord of Mars.
Well, look, I was researching a story that I was involved in some time ago, and I'm not going to give you too much detail.
Another Will true story.
It is.
Yep.
And it involved the lost treasure cargo in Cambodia.
Lost treasure cargo of Cambodia.
You can immediately see a radio series coming up.
Absolutely.
Look, there was a treasure, and there's been another one on the beach at Broome where some diamonds, there was a shipload of diamonds in a plane that crashed there, and that was searched for and searched for. They found the plane and the diamonds were gone. That's a famous story.
As I often have to say, Will, can I just take you one step back?
Sure.
So you were once a treasure hunter. You were mixed up with a bunch of salvage. What's going on here?
The connection's kind of difficult to explain, but yes, all of the above. Not a professional treasure hunter, but got involved with some who took me up into the jungles in Cambodia.
How did you get there?
Let's not talk about that, but we got there, we went into Cambodia, they located an aircraft which was not serviceable. It was a Dakota, Dakota,
yep.
DC-3, yep. People would know them as here. Yeah.
No, well, DC-3 civilian with seats.
That's
right. Dakota, no seats.
No seats in this one, and I thought it was a DC-2. It had the little square windows, not the round ones, so I don't think we've got aircraft.
Tani, do you know much about aeroplanes? No, shaking her head.
Shaking her head.
So I don't think anyone here. So square windows, round windows, please make a note. Yes?
Anyway,
So you're in Cambodia. You're not going to discuss how you got there.
I'd rather not.
All right. And where the hell is this Dakota or DC-3 or Dakota?
Well,
or
there
DC-2?
Was a lot of abandoned aircraft there because after the Vietnam War, there was a lot of aircraft hidden in the jungle. This one had I don't know what they call them, but they didn't make bunkers to put them in. They heaped up hills either side of them. Well, I don't know what they're called. Great big dirt hills, and the plane would sit between, which protected them from sight and from any explosives that might go off nearby.
So you travel into Cambodia on the off or fairly positive chance you would find a plane.
Yep.
Right. And now, why? I don't get it. Why are you in Cambodia looking for a plane to look for, you said, a treasure? Where's the treasure meant to be?
The treasure is meant to be on a plane just like this one.
Right.
And the first step for us was to locate these planes, so we needed a plane
to locate the planes. All right, I get it now.
This was probably an ex-military plane. We enlisted locals who said that they knew about the mechanics of these planes, because back in those days, there weren't factories out there. There were farmers who also used to be able to be soldiers, used to be able to service aircraft, and they'd just blend back in to the farm and keep working the paddies when they were off duty. Well, we found some of them. They helped us to get this plane to a stage where we could fly it.
And you gladly got in this plane after a bunch of farmers had been at it with their SID chromes.
It was kind of nerve-wracking. We didn't have seats, as you rightly pointed out. We had foam mattresses and things like that.
So you're just rolling around the back of this DC-2 or 3. So it took off.
It took off. We got going.
How long since it last flew?
I have no idea. But it had bullet holes in the side of it, just a couple of them, and it had obviously been in some action. But it fired up like those old Pratt & Whitney's. Yeah, a great puff of white smoke coming out of each engine. It had two engines. Yeah. And we did a little test flight one day, and we did another test flight the next day, and then the decision was made that we would start our search. And it was at low level, and we weren't really supposed to be there. We were looking for a wreck.
All right, so just a summary here. You're not meant to be in Cambodia. You're not meant to be resurfacing an old bomb plane from the Second World War that was possibly used as recon in the Vietnam War. And now you've got it going, and you've done a couple of test flights, and off you go.
That's pretty much it, yeah. And I guess in those days I was pretty fearless.
Stupid.
Stupid, fearless.
Following...
It probably
a crazier, more fearless.
Probably helps explain to you why I'm such a nervous wreck now. These days now. It's right. All come back to haunt me. But look, we got flying and everything was going smoothly. And
Can't do the sound effect.
Yeah.
Is that what it sounded like?
No, pretty noisy DC-3s inside. Yeah.
And they're not power assisted, it's fly by wire.
Oh, yeah.
You push the bloody pedal on the floor and the thing at the back goes like that.
We had an American pilot who had flown Phantom jets in the Vietnam War and had spent 8 years locked up in a prison by the Viet Cong and survived.
Life not arduous and tough enough, got to get into an old...
Yeah, has to come... He was in charge of the thing, of the expedition.
What was his name? Can you remember?
I do. It was, can I mention his name? Yeah. Spike Naismith was his name.
Of course it was.
Yeah. And he had a Vietnamese girlfriend. I'm trying to remember her name, but doesn't matter. And we had a Canadian, Trevor Ross, who was in the co-pilot seat. He hadn't fought. He was a lot younger. He hadn't fought in Vietnam.
So you weren't as stupid and reckless enough not to have a co-pilot on.
We had a co-pilot. We had a navigator who was from Brisbane, or claimed to be a navigator. I had a map of Cambodia that I bought at the airport, and I had that on top of a 44-gallon drum of fuel. Here. Yeah, that's the one.
Does that bring back memories?
It does.
I can see you quivering almost.
Well, we sweated a lot. You can see that from it. It's stained and it's pretty soggy even today.
It's stained with sort of Mount Gay rum by the looks of it.
Yeah,
as
there
well.
Was a little bit of rum. Look, we had trouble over the Gulf of Siam. We had a fire in the wing, in the starboard wing. That's it.
That sort of noise?
That's the one.
Bit of odd revving and...
Well, what happened was the boys shut the motor down when they detected that there was a fire. But it turned out the fire was in the what we call a feathering motor. And that's a little mechanical motor in a DC-3 that helps to feather the propeller blades when they're not turning. So they're no longer a drag.
Mm-hmm.
Without feathering them, you have the equivalent of about a 12-foot sheet of plywood.
Call it an air anchor.
Or an air brake.
Yes.
And full power in the port motor was not enough for us to...
I can hear it. I'm up there, the wind rushing by. And the sound you didn't want to hear, Will, was this.
No, that's the sound you don't want to hear. We still had the port motor running, but we couldn't maintain altitude and we were going down and it looked like we may go into the damn sea. So... we started tying things together on board that we thought might float. I don't know how foam mattresses float, but we had some spare parts and...
Yeah, no, I don't think a sponge floats well.
And we had, we had 44-gallon drums full of fuel for the engines.
Of course.
And our thoughts were that would float because it's lighter than water, and if necessary, we could empty them. But
you could string them together like the Swiss Family Robinson.
Yeah, we couldn't see out of the little square windows at all because they were kind of crazed over. They were very old. They were fogged
old
over.
Old perspex.
Yeah, old perspex. Yeah, really crazy. Very scratched. The only windows we could see out of were the ones in front of the pilots. So we were all kind of crowded around in the little area behind the pilots. And they did a magnificent job. And after about... 40 minutes of flying, and we couldn't have been more than a couple of hundred feet off the water at this stage. We saw some fairly low cliffs up ahead, and the decision was made to add revs to the port motor. There was some danger that it might blow
explode.
Up.
This is the one with motor. The flame in it. And is there smoke coming out of this
thing? It's belching smoke. It's making a horrible noise. And we were able to just guide this plane and nurse it, and we just about clipped the edge of this cliff. We went over the cliff and we landed on rough ground on the other side of the cliff. Did a magnificent landing.
It's just like a movie.
It was like a movie. And it's funny, when at first I realized the trouble that we're in, I was, you know, my body went into some kind of shock. Yeah. And then I transferred through that. I always remember the feeling that I lost all fear and I became quite practical.
And but you slow up, don't you?
You slow
very
up.
Deliberate,
yep.
Very methodical.
And because there was nothing we could do. We were in the hands of those pilots.
Yes.
But we landed there and we didn't know exactly where we were, but it turns out that we were on a piece of land adjacent to a Thai naval base.
So you've crossed another border illegally.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if we were illegal. We weren't expected.
No.
We only took a couple of minutes. We leapt out of the plane, had a fire extinguisher.
I would have jumped out of the plane.
Oh, yeah, we leapt
out.
It's
on fire.
We're still rolling when we jumped out the back.
Yeah, good.
And we immediately tackled that. It wasn't a great deal of fire, but there was a lot of smoke.
Yeah.
And within about a minute, we were surrounded by military people with weapons. And we were taken off for questioning. We were actually held there for a week before we could get some help down from someone we knew in Bangkok that could vouch for us.
And I was going to say, and convince them that you weren't spying on their country in a crappy old
Well, that we weren't
crate.
Running drugs or spying.
Oh, right,
or
right,
I guess it could have been anything, or shipping arms or whatever.
So this venture to spot other planes possibly filled with treasure, that was it. It was aborted. It didn't
get
that far.
No, that plane had its chips.
And you wouldn't want to pull that stunt again, go back.
No. They were very, very nice to us. And eventually when we were set free, we went back and we just got the hell out of the country.
Yeah.
But how did we get there from Paul Cézanne?
I know, and Pasquale Giordano. Well, I'm sorry, John, but once again, Will's told us a fabulous little tale. Flew on a flight of fancy, we might say.
It was, and I sometimes look back on it and think it didn't actually happen, but it did, and I've got all the photos and everything. But
I just look at that crazed look in your eyes, and I know it's true.
Anyway, we better sign off because
we've
taken too long.
Yep.
Can we come back and do it again? We'll have
to
come
back.
Well,
actually, we've got to research this story. We've got to find out. First off, we've got to find out who took the Cézanne book.
Yeah, because we do need to do something about art for Arts About. But let's sign off right now. Let's go back to you in the studio. This is Swan.
Swanee.
And Bailu signing off and ably helped by Tani.
Tani.
Thank you, Tani.
Thank you, Tani.
Back to you.
Well, I really don't know what to say. That is the most remarkable story. And although it is a story, I have seen the photographs myself, folks. So it did happen. I don't know why they think that they should be on a program about art, though we're not really getting terribly much of that. Now, it is with great relish that I welcome back to the table one of the original band members. Cliff Ellen, actor, writer, blogger and critic, rejoins us after a well-earned break down at his home in Rye. Good morning, Cliff. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Sally. What? That wasn't Island King, was it?
No, that was an actual story.
Great contribution, as always, from Swanee. What would we do without him? No, that was quite good because last week's Island King literally sent me to sleep.
Oh, no, this one's quite good, this next one.
Okay, well, what have we got?
What have you been up to, Cliff, over the holidays?
Well, I didn't go and see that outstanding show at Rosebud, but everyone loves. What's it called?
No, the Jason Common one.
Jason Common.
No, yes. I didn't go there this
Mr.
year.
Mr. Me, I call him. Mr. Me.
however, say no more.
He does well and everybody loves him. So yeah. We give him a big tick and Steve's big show on the Saturday with the short film festival.
With the short film festival, amazing with our fabulous, I shouldn't necessarily call it fabulous ourselves because we did the live broadcast from there, of course.
And we are as a
Let's
VIP.
Hope it's fabulous in I'm some people's VIP. Minds.
That's right. I'll go and see John Wood today in the RACV car rally at Mornington Racecourse. But going away from that, just a few things. Stage Art has got three shows for 2017. They've got the Full Monty, Spring Awakening in Memphis. One's in March at the National, in May in Chapel Off Chapel. In October, again, Chapel of Chapel. You can get student concessions and concessions for that.
Who did you say this was? Stage Art?
Stage Art. They do three shows. I'm not saying they're any good.
Oh, but, okay.
They do three a year. They put a lot into it. I think it costs about $160 for the three shows.
For the three. Are they a Melbourne operation?
Yeah, well, yes. One's at the National and the other two at Chapel of Chapel.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And as we know, Born Yesterday is already on now with Jason Carson Carnes. Carson Carnes, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's
Where's that on?
Broadway thing. It's on now. It's on until mid-February.
Right.
It's on at the MTC and followed by The Plays by Annie Baker, which has got Helen Morse and Julia Blake in it.
Oh, well, you'd like that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would. I would. Yep. Although I wouldn't mind Born Yesterday.
I don't know anything about it, actually.
Well, it's a Broadway classic.
Was it?
There's a movie of it, yes, with Judy Holliday.
Ah.
Beautiful actress. She died early.
Oh, okay.
And I forget the man, but he was great too. The ABC, 2017, I should say, the Sydney Sydney television show.
Yeah, it is the Sydney television.
We've got Newton's Law with Claudia Carvan and Brett Tucker. We've got Seven Types of Ambiguity with Hugo Weaving and Alex Dimitriadis.
Ooh.
We've got The Warriors with Lisa McCune, John Howard, and Vince Colosimo with Water Only, No Ice. And the ABC is doing Blue Murder again, the killer cop thing. I don't know if you saw it with Richard Roxburgh, but it was great. It was some years ago.
Yes, I did see that. It was terrific.
The part of the detective, Roger Rogerson.
Yes.
Who's in jail, I suppose, unless he's got out. He might have got
there
out
was
by now.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. And I think there was something about him just recently.
Well,
in the
it's
last
a follow-up
year.
On the original. It sounds good. Mm-hmm. Before I forget, though, I've got to mention Freddie Parslow because he died.
Oh, yes,
and,
of course he did.
To me, he was a star. I did two plays with Freddie. I learned more in those two plays than I would have learnt in 10 years of drama lessons. He was marvellous.
Was he one of those fabulous people that sort of imparts great knowledge?
He was a king. He didn't impart knowledge. He had to be very careful.
So you had to watch
him. He taught me comedy. He taught me timing.
Yep.
He taught me if I've got a story to tell, to believe in it,
yep.
to really think it's good,
yep.
and it will impart itself across the audience and different things like that. On the other hand, don't get a bigger laugh than him. You could be in trouble.
Oh,
very good on the
okay.
ad-libs. But a fantastic man, and I'm very sad about that. I haven't heard about his funeral arrangements. As a rare thing, I'll go up if it's on for the public, you know. But what else have we got? We've got Picnic at Hanging Rock. That's got six episodes. That's on Foxtel.
Yes. What do you think about that?
Well, I haven't seen it. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't seen it. But what do you think about
it? I don't like the idea much.
No, I don't either, to
be honest
with you.
I think it was a classic.
Mm-hmm.
And
I mean, that's probably a bit mean of me, but I don't like the idea.
Well, it depends. I mean, it's funny because we talked about last year's show, Midnight Sun, which I watched on
Oh, that's
SBS.
Right, and I watched the last episode.
There were nine episodes.
Yeah, I watched number nine
it's
first.
It's now on SBS and there's four episodes. Well, it finished on last Thursday.
Oh.
So there's only four, so they're all about 2 hours long.
Oh.
And so I had a lot of time to get right into it. So it depends with Picnic at Hanging Rock
yeah.
how much they're going to put into it.
Yeah, true. We shouldn't be closed-minded about things,
six
should we?
Six is better than ten. That's all I can say. Wait and see.
Yeah.
There's some top Aussie films too, I suppose. What did we get for last year?
Oh, now I wanted to ask you, did you see Le Mans Anglaise last year at 45 Downstairs?
No.
Oh, okay. That's with Rob Meldrum and Gillian Murray. For some reason or other, I thought that you had seen that because they're coming back for a third season at 45 Downstairs.
Yeah, well, it got a rave at La Mama.
Yep, and then it went to 45 and then they sold out and they're doing it again.
And I love that lady. She's terrific.
Mm.
I worked with her for a long time, years ago. So what do we have? For the films, we had The Daughter, written and directed by Simon Stone, starring Jeffrey Russ, Nicholas Hope, Sam Neill, Miranda Otto, Scare Campaign Down Under, and Porno.
I'm dying to see
Porno.
Porno
got the best film. It's got Johnny Brumpton in it, who I've worked with. He's a good bloke, Johnny.
Yes, he is fantastic. And it's got Damien Hill and Kerry Armstrong.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, skip Kerry, my darling Kerry.
Yes.
Okay. But Johnny's good. I've worked with him on stage too. Nice bloke. Did a lot of criminal parts. And he is a criminal.
Oh, looks like he's a perfect criminal, for it. You know. Hey, it's fabulous to have you back, but you know we're running out of time.
Okay, I don't mind.
Yeah, and we've got your song. You've selected this one. Can you?
Just a quiet one for the day.
Dave Brubeck, Tape 5.
Yeah, it's a classic.
Yeah, it is a classic.
Probably came out in about the 50s or 60s, I can't recall. I was there, though, somewhere.
Great to see you, Cliff.
Pleasure.
See you next week.
Yes.
There's those fabulous typing fingers of Will's flying across the keyboard, so that means it's time for the news. McCulloch and McCulloch and from Whistlewood Gallery are inviting everybody to a special evening of Aboriginal art. There's an exhibition opening and an in-conversation and a film screening of Puttaparri and the Rainmakers on Saturday, February the 18th, 6 till 10 p.m. Go to the Whistlewood website for information about that. As I mentioned, Le Mans Anglais is back for another session at 45 Downstairs, 7th to the 19th of Feb. Go to 45 Downstairs website. Judy Singleton, friend of the show, has a solo exhibition of painting and ceramics at the Kinross Art Centre in Toorak, 5th to the 26th of February. And I think Leah Flanagan's going to be there on the opening on the 5th between 3 and 5. The Sydney Biennale is nearly upon us. The 21st Biennale will be curated under the artistic direction of Mami Katoeka, I'm actually not sure how to say that, and will be presented from March to June, so stand by for that one. Asia Topa also is about to, in fact, I think it's probably already started and runs through until April. That's the Asia Pacific Triennial of Performing Arts and a celebration of our relationship with contemporary Asia. It sounds incredible. It's on loads of different venues all over Melbourne. So go onto the website and have a look at that, Asia Topa, T-O-P-R. That's about it. So if you have just tuned in, you've missed Arts About. You can catch up with the show via podcast, which may appear on the station, but there's also a repeat on Wednesdays at 12. You can find a link to our Facebook page on the RWP website. And please join us again 11 o'clock next Sunday. And remember, everybody, we may not know everything about art, but we know what we like.